Hello and welcome to the Investors Chronicle podcast special on Buy to Let. My name's Jonas Crosland and I cover all things property related, and I'm delighted to be joined today by David Lawrenson, leading light in the buy to let sector and author of many books. Welcome, David.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Now, buy to let, as well as providing an important source of income, it provides a very established service in the property market because it provides properties for people who can't afford to buy a house or maybe just don't want to buy a house. But the recent legislation proposals are going to be unhelpful to the very least.
Yeah, they are certainly. So we've three separate tax hits: stamp duty, land tax, extra tax, capital gains tax. We still have to pay the old higher rates, and the effect of the being able to only offset mortgage interest at the basic rate. So those are three big things. Have all hit the sector in a way, in the different ways.
Yeah. I'm seeing mixed messages coming through. Do you think many landlords will pull up the drawbridge and leave the market?
That was the feeling when all these things happened. But the evidence seems to be now that in the press reports I'm reading, that that doesn't appear to have happened. Certainly there's been a big rush to ahead to try to beat the stamp duty land tax hike, I think, back in April. But there doesn't appear to be a big, you know, rush to the doors. I think the next 6 months will tell, but there's certainly good rates of return in property investment. And mustn't forget, I think that two-thirds of properties that are buy-to-let don't have a mortgage on them. So the effect of the restriction to basic rate tax relief on interest won't affect those anyway.
That's a very interesting point, actually, because if you're not planning to buy any more properties, and as you said, you're mortgage free, you're actually going to benefit from the new legislation, because presumably one of the unfortunate consequences will be an increase in rent.
Yeah, that's correct. An increase in rent is likely. If there's a reduction in supply, we're certainly going to see increases in rent, and people would be quite conscious of that. So it's one of the things with buy-to-let and property that I discuss in my book, Successful Property Letting, to say that if there's any restriction in supply, it's likely to be that rents are likely, therefore, to increase as a result. So you kind of win that way. Yeah. Similarly, if mortgage interest rates go up, it's harder for people to buy properties, therefore they're more likely to rent, and so you have that effect too. So it might push house prices down, but the countervailing thing is that the rents will increase.
Imponderables.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Now, the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors predicting that 1.8 million more households will be looking to rent rather than buy a home by 2025. So the situation at the moment is hard to see where those are going to come from.
Yeah, that's correct. And certainly the government seems very keen on the build to rent and encouraging particularly large institutional investors to get involved in private rent and to be giving more incentives for that to happen and encouraging it more. That might be one way, but so far the volumes are not astonishing anybody. The new properties being built, although they are increasing at a fair rate. But you're right, it's where's that stock going to come from? Good point, and It's hard to gauge where it's going to come from. So we can only see rents increasing as a result, I think, because of that lack of supply.
Yeah, I think we have to put that into perspective, because I think in the history, or the entire history of build to rent, there's 66,000 properties built or in the pipeline, and you set that against, 5 million rented properties in the country?
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to take a long time to bridge that.
Yes, it is. People pick it up a lot. But it's increasing, but it's from a slow pace. And, I'm not totally convinced that they will be able to compete as it stands with buy-to-let landlords in terms of efficiencies and costs either. So, no. But we'll see.
There's always going to be a place, even if build-to-rent really took off, because, I mean, you can't build-to-rent in the Cotswolds or a seaside town. There's always going to be property, for the holiday lets as well.
Yeah, that's true. Where build-to-rent does seem to be succeeding is, university towns. Some of those might be on the seaside, like Brighton, I suppose. Yeah, I know where you're coming from there.
Yeah.
So there are examples like that. But it seems to work quite well, in commuter towns, parts outskirts of London, where it seems to be the places where it works. Some of the larger cities that are well underpinned in terms of economic growth, like Manchester, for example.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work everywhere. You're absolutely correct.
We talked about landlords, whether they'll leave the market. Presumably, if all this legislation went through, it would present a barrier to new entrants. Would you think it'll put people off?
I think it's some will be put off for sure, and not only the fiscal stuff, but it's also increasing regulatory burdens. We now have licensing in Wales and so on, so that's increasing all the time gradually. So our people are put off. I think new entrant landlords possibly are put off, but when they look at the returns available from investing in buy-to-let and compare it with what's available down on the high street from the best they can get in fixed interest bonds and so on, and the risks in the stock market, which to many people looks probably fully valued, then it still is sound. And I'd guesstimate the latest figures, maybe we're looking at net rent yields of about 3.5-4%, plus of course potential for capital growth. And yes, as I said, many people don't have mortgages.
Yes, exactly right. Now, there's some interesting news from Ireland in the budget next year. They're going to restore to 100% the tax relief on mortgages. I think it's about 75% at the moment. But the interesting thing is that was within 3 years of that being introduced, they're equivalent to Section 24, average rents rose by 50%. Now, I'm wondering whether we have a new chancellor, whether in the autumn statement he might say something favourable. Do you think there's any chance of him turning back some of these tax proposals?
I think it's unlikely, because I think that the problem is here that landlords are still seem to be doing very, very well, very nicely, thank you. And I think the perhaps negative press they might get if they reverse that would be consideration of the government. I just don't think it's likely. In fact, I'd bet it wouldn't happen. I think it'd be unlikely that they would do that. But they might be. They ought to have look at Ireland in terms of what happened with rents there. Although it is a very different market to ours, of course, and a far less populated country. But I don't think it's going to. I don't think this government will do the same as it has happened in Ireland.
Yeah. So I suppose the message really is that a majority of landlords, even though significant number of them will be pushed into higher tax bands, will probably bite the bullet and carry on.
Yeah, that's correct. I think so. There's ways. There are workarounds for some people, particularly where one of the most obvious ones, properties and husband and wife own it, civil partnership or whatever, and they can move it over via a deed variation to so that the income falls on the lower rate taxpayer, and there's other stuff. But there are kind of workarounds, and tax accountants very busy advising on those, so people will kind of use those things too. And I think, as you say, they will suck it up, really. There's still good returns in it, and I don't think it's going to stop them.
Okay. Well, thanks very much indeed, David, for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.